This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everyone. I hope we're all excited for today. I'm also excited. This is a good day. To me, and it was such a privilege for me to prepare for this sermon, because it gave me some time with the Lord, just sitting on God's feet, and because my attitude was that this is God's church, and it's only God who knows what the church needs at this season. And on my own, I cannot. It will be very difficult for me. And the other time, I went out to pray. And I was, as I was meditating and praying, Holy Spirit just reminded me of a situation or something that happened to me when I was still young at Msinga. Msinga is one of the rural areas outside of Cape Town. It was immediately after apartheid. There was a black on black violence that they called black on black violence. It was a fight between ANC and IFP, and on that moment I was still young. I think I was doing grade 2, and it was early in the morning. My mom was preparing me for school, and I was getting ready, and I remember I was just wearing the underpants. And then we had our dog barking outside in a very strange way. And my mom was like, please, let's go, let's run. Because we remember that there was war and many houses were burnt down by that time. And then immediately we tried to run out. As we were outside the door, and I saw the very tall man with a beard carrying a gun, AK-47. And then he pushed me. And I was just wearing the underpants, and he was pressing that gun against my tummy and pushing us back and swearing at us. And then we get inside, and my mom, she said to me, let's lie down, because they might shoot, you know, in the house or something like that. And then they broke the windows. I don't know why I was reminded of this, but then I continued like praying as I was thinking all of this, and I think that's a day as well. They killed our dog, and probably it's one of the reasons why even today I don't like dogs. They killed our dog on that day. But as I was praying and meditating, the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that the heart and the mind of a man, and if I'm saying a man, I'm just referring to both gender, whether female or a male, that if you don't have Christ, you are very dangerous to this world. You're not just dangerous to the community, but even to yourself, to your family. You know, even the news that we hear or the things that we hear from the news, when you had that old man, maybe 45 years old man, he raped his daughter, and you just ask yourself, what's going on now? What's happening? But the Holy Spirit revealed to me that what is happening We need Christ. And if we don't have Christ, then it's a big problem. You know, we are dangerous even to ourselves, not just in the community. Let's pray. But first of all, before we pray, as we were worshiping now, I saw a vision of a garden that was just ready for a rain, you know, and prepared. And I feel that our heart are ready to receive a seed from the Lord. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for such an amazing privilege, Lord, to carry your seed, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to pour your spirit, Lord, in the form of a rain to prepare the hearts of your people, Lord. God, you're amazing. I have many testimonies of you, Lord. You're amazing, God. And we trust you, Lord. And we're fixing our eyes at this moment only to you, Lord. You're such a good Father, Lord. And I also pray, Lord, that in this ceremony, anything that is not from you, Lord, may you just cut it away, Lord. Let your voice be audible to us. And even my heart is also prepared to hear from you, Lord, at this moment. Just speak through me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I humble myself, Lord. And I also pray for pride, Lord, especially when we're doing your work, Lord. I pray for humility to all of us as leaders, as a congregation, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. May we be humble like a bride to a husband, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let us check. Oh, thanks, Stephen, for a title. James, this sermon will be based on James 2, verse 1 to 4. So let us go there quickly. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if they should come into your assembly, a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and they should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, God has not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. But you dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the law yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy transfers judgment. Let us look at verse 5. Because that's an interesting one, this one. And because when I was meditating and praying over this, God showed me something that like a normal verse or a scripture that we all know, but God showed me another perspective that I never looked at. And I was very excited. Because in this case, and it's so interesting that we experience such things even in church, because most of the time we see these things in the world. But it's interesting now that these things are coming to church. And it also means something even to us. Because in the world, you know that that there are classes. There's a middle class, high class of the rich people, even in terms of the settlements. There's so much division, you know. And even in conversation, when we talk to people, especially those rich people, immediately when you talk to them, like you're talking to normal people, they always remind us that, do you know who you're talking to? All of those things. Do you know who you're dealing with? All of those things, because they want to be treated special, you know. But it's something else when we see those things coming to church, you know. When we tend to, it's so interesting because it also says with our evil thoughts. So we tend to take or we treat those rich people. We even give them platform. Another time, my father-in-law was here. He was here in Durban. It's so interesting. My father-in-law, Nobile's father, he's a pastor. So most of the time when we meet, we talk about the kingdom and the things that are happening in churches and all of those things. So it's interesting that our last conversation, we were talking about these issues because we were heading into elections. And I was talking to him, asking him, I was asking him if there's anything that can be done about politicians, because they come to church, especially during the times of manifestos and stuff, they come to church and they request a platform to do their manifesto or to beg people to vote for them, and they come immediately on that time. If you say to them, I'll give you a platform at 10 o'clock, they will come immediately on that time and just say whatever that they want to say and then leave. And it's totally wrong. And I'm not blaming them, but I'm blaming us as a church, because we're the one who's supposed to say, so if you need a platform, probably I'll give you the platform, but after service or during the announcement kind of thing, you know. But not that you'll come before the sermon and you just say whatever and then leave, you know. That's a problem, because we are different. God has selected us. We are beloved one. So we don't have to feel ashamed about that. We have to be proud of being the children of God, the sons and daughters of a loving God. And we have to open the space for everyone to come and to come to the Lord. For example, most of the time, if the politicians they come to churches during the manifesto, they come with their people, you know. It's just a bunch of people. You never know. Maybe amongst those people, one can be saved and come to the Lord, you know, because they don't get a chance to hear the word of God. So if you say, come during the service starts at 9, so come at 9. I'll give you a platform to talk after this, but please, at 9, just be there, something like that. And they stay the whole service. You never know. God is amazing. God is amazing. You know. So the reason why I'm talking about that is that those issues, because even the leaders in the church, they show so much respect. It's a good thing to respect leaders. We are called to do that, to submit to authorities. But we don't have to compromise the word of God when it comes to that. The word of God has to be the priority every time. We don't have to compromise that. And there's another part that I also wanted to point out here, that as I was reading and praying over this scripture, I realized that the main things, like I had a picture of our body as a two-room house. Interesting. A two-room house. The other room, it's a spiritual. It's a, like if we sit or we stay on the other room, we concentrate on our spiritual being. And if we sit on or we stay on the other room, we focus on our flesh being. So the interesting part here, it was that the fact that God said the poor, they are rich in faith. And obviously, those who are rich, according to the standards of this world, so obviously in faith they are not rich. So if we, as church leaders or as a church members, so we show favor to those who are rich according to the standards of this world. So it's obvious to us that we are in that room. We are focusing on our flesh being, because why are you showing favor to someone who's poor in spirit, in faith, but show favor in someone, but dishonor someone who's rich in faith? Because if your focus is on your spiritual being, then you'll show favor to someone who's rich in faith. Because in my mind, I believe that that person who's rich in faith, his cup or her cup is overflowing. So if you look after that person who's poor, then obviously his cup will overflow to your cup. But if you show favor to someone who's rich according to the standards of this world, so it's obvious that whether consciously or unconsciously, it's obvious that you also hoping that that person will do something or will return a favor to you. And obviously, if someone is not rich in faith or is not rich in his spirit, that person cannot contribute anything in your spiritual being, but that person will contribute to your flesh being if he's rich according to standards of this world. So in other words, it means that you are focusing on your flesh and you are disregarding your spiritual being. So it's a big problem. The reason why I'm saying it's a big problem is because you are not living according to the will of God. Because God cares about the poor, the orphans, the widows. And if you look according to the world, those people, like we don't really care about those people. Instead, we care about those people who have status. We care about celebrities, you know. So it challenged me while I was praying and meditating on this. And so I also believe that it's not fair for me to be challenged alone. So let us all be challenged on this one. Let us go to Luke chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. I believe that all of us, we are familiar with this story where Jesus was fasting and he was led by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness. That is where he was tempted by the enemy. As I was praying, God showed me this verse, and he showed me the another angle that I never looked at, and I was very excited. And maybe before we read it, let me just share that angle, that the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that in this conversation, I'll put it like that, in this conversation between our Savior Jesus and the enemy, devil, that devil was focusing on fleshly being, on the flesh, that a man should provide for flesh, and the reason why the enemy is focusing, or he wants us to focus on our flesh being, it's because he knows that the flesh will bear fruits that will benefit him. But God, interestingly, Jesus was focusing on the spiritual being, because the spiritual being will bear fruits that will help us on our journey of faith, on our journey of faith, yes, as we're seeking the kingdom, because the word commands us to seek the kingdom first. Verse 3. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." You see, the bread was not going to benefit the spiritual being, but it was going to benefit the flesh. And in this case, Jesus was fasting, so obviously his flesh was submitting to the spirit, because he was fasting and reading a word, obviously, because if you're fasting, your mind, everything, just focuses on Christ or on God. So that means in spirit, you are active. Your spiritual ears are active. They can hear the word of God. They can hear God talking to you audibly. And your eyes are also very sharp and open, that if God shows you anything, if God shows you visions, you will see it, you know, because the flesh doesn't have power at that moment, but the spirit has so much power. So if you're fasting, but the enemy knew that it was not going to be easy to tempt Jesus if his spirit is that active. So in this case, you remember the analogy that I gave you earlier of two room house, that the other one is the spirit, the other one is the flesh. So it was more like the enemy is saying, move from your spirit room to a flesh room. So in that case, it would be easy for the enemy to tempt. But look what our Savior is saying in response. But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word of God." That is very powerful. And that was a killer to the enemy. You know, because, like as I've said earlier, that a word of God, it benefits the spirit. It leads the spirit to bear fruits, instead of a bread, because a bread will benefit the flesh, and the flesh will bear fruit after that. But there's also a issue, because if you look at this world, because I believe that everything what we see in James, it's because we're more into the world. So we take the standard of the world into the church, that the rich people are respected in the world. And we come to church, we do the very same thing. We disregard the poor, and we take care of the rich. We even give them platform to talk. And what they will say, if they were given a platform to talk, beside, because their mind, it's about the world, it's about the flesh, they will preach that gospel that focus on yourself, it's about you. And disregard our spirit being, and which is very important because it connects us with our Father. And that's why every now and then, that other time I was talking to one of my friends about depression. In fact, that friend of mine was asking me that whether it's possible for someone who's connected with the Lord and spending a lot of time with the Lord to be depressed. And my perspective, and my opinion or my perspective, I said to him, this is my opinion. I don't think someone who's connected with the Lord, it's possible for him or will be depressed. And the reason why I was saying that is that a depression, the word it says itself, it's a depression. You have so much on your shoulders. So you depress. And if you think for us, it's possible to take everything. You wanna have everything on your power. And immediately when you realize that you can't take it anymore, that is where you feel that pressure. And the next thing, you collapse. Or your mind just shut down because it's too much. You're carrying a lot of things. you know. But if you connected with the Lord, and God will reveal things to you, God will talk to you. God loves us so much. Will talk to us, will show us vision, will even with his word, will tell us things. Because everything, our life depends on the word of God. It's a guidance for us. But if you want to do things according to this world, then it's going to be a problem because it's just fleshy, everything. You look around, you'll see your friend progressing. You will see, and then you will think that it's only you who's stuck. I'm stuck in this thing of Christianity. I have to just leave it and just live my life, you know. So then a depression, that is where it comes, you know. Because truly speaking, everybody, I mean, especially at this moment in our country, things are not going all right, you know. So I also believe that it's a time for our friends, our colleagues, everybody, to see that it's a time to come back to the Lord. Because the answer is in Christ. We cannot solve things on our own. We can think about the politics. We can, you know, think that probably we made a mistake. Ramaphosa shouldn't be the one. So and so, you know, all of the, we'll frustrate ourselves, you know. But if we connect to the Father and say, Lord, you know, tell me what to do. Because all of us, nobody is called to be a spectator in the church. All of us, we are called to do something and spend that time at the moment and say, Lord, what are you called me to do? What is my role in this? You know, tell me, I want to partner with you in everything that you're doing. Where are you? You know. Otherwise, if we so my answer was that God provides, you know. That's why you find people like Paul, and you look at his life, and then there's a lot of things happened to him. You know, he was stoned. There was a lot of things, snake bites, a lot of things. And then you find him saying, all is well with my soul. And you ask yourself, is well? Do you know the meaning? You know, but is that? It's because he understands what is going through. You know, because there's also seasons. You know. All of us, we have seasons. God is taking us through seasons, you know. So, but it's very important to connect with the Lord, stay in the Word, and so that we'll not find ourselves in that situation, especially the one where we'll take the things of the world and just bring it into church, and frustrate people in church. But in Romans 12 verse 2, God is begging us. That, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. On our own, on our flesh, on our way of thinking, we cannot do it. You know? So we should always avoid to take the standard of this world, but instead allow our mind to. And just submit ourselves to the Lord to be transformed so that we'll know and do things according to the will of God. Even prayer, so that we learn to pray according to the will of God, so that we learn to treat people according to the will of God. You know? So what we see in James chapter 2, it's 1 to 13, you see that the problem is that we're not partnering with the Lord. Our mind are not transformed. Because we cannot cause division. That's a division. To say, because you are poor, just sit there by the door. And because you are rich, go and sit here in front. These seats are for the rich people to come and sit here. That's a division. And then in church, we'll find ourselves having two groups, the rich and the poor, you know. And that is not the mind of Christ at all, you know. It can be anything. It can be any standard that we might use, you know. So but it also difficult for us to do it on our own. We have to read the word of God. Our mind will be transformed, and seek the presence of the Lord to avoid all of those things, you know. Because focusing on our flesh and trying to do things on our own way, it's a big problem. It's a big problem because we will find ourselves sinning up to a point where until we get to a point where we say, this thing of Christianity, it's not easy. It's only Jesus who managed to do it well. So for us, we are human. We cannot. So sinning is a part of us. God knows that. You know, we'll find ourselves saying that. Galatians 5, verse 18 to 19. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. To me, basically, it means if your mind is not transformed, you are living in your flesh. You are living under the flesh. And it's a big problem if you are living under the flesh. We are doing things on our own. Because the flesh, it's basically that everything, you hands on in everything. You want to touch everything. You want to solve everything, every problem. Anyone who's doing you wrong, you want to sort that person. You want to talk to, I'm going to confront that person. You know, and that's a big, it become a problem. Then you are not led by the Holy Spirit. Because between someone who's following Christ, who's being led by the Holy Spirit, and the other person who's living on the flesh, those are two different people. Because the one who's led by the Holy Spirit, he doesn't go where he likes, but he follows Christ. He goes where the Lord says he shall go. He doesn't do any job. He pray and ask the Lord. Even when it comes to treating people, guys, we're going to mess around if you do things on our own. It's going to be difficult for us if we do things on our own. Because even in the issue of treating people in church, it's going to be difficult, you know. It's going to be difficult because we have a lot of things even on ourselves. The world that we live in, it has many wounds. There are many things happening in this world. In our country, there was an issue for apartheid. And if we live according to the standards of this world, there will be division in church. And it's so interesting that in this church, we are a multicultural church. So and in a way, it also challenges your hearts every now and then. And it also, I believe that it's going to be easy to find it in your heart whether your mind has been transformed or not. Because according to the standards of this world, there's still division between races. There's still division. But interestingly, in Christ, there's no division. We're in unity. So you check your heart. You ask the Holy Spirit. Check your heart and check where you are. And if you find a spot in your heart, don't undermine it. Pray to the Lord and ask. Pray and ask. Because God cannot use us if we still have spots. If you still have problems, you know, because God, how can God use us if you still have problem with a certain culture or any culture that is different from yours? Then how God is going to use you? Because the Holy Spirit, it just moves. Nobody knows. Nobody controls the Holy Spirit. It just moves according to the will of God. So it can. If you say, God, I'm willing, use me, the Holy Spirit can move you to a culture that you have an issue with. And what are you going to do? You're going to hurt people. The fragile people, they're going to open their hearts to you, not specific to you, but to the Lord, just because you're a servant of the Lord. And you're going to hurt them because you have issues. You're going to tell people that they are unworthy. You're going to tell people that you guys, putting that person under a category of a culture, you guys, you are this. Then it's a big issue. You cannot say that. You're dealing with the individual, but you're saying, you guys, you are this. You cannot. That's why I'm saying we need to ask God to help us. in this. And the reason why I'm touching that it's because it's a part of it, it's the same thing. That division that we see in James chapter 2, verse 1 to 13, it's the same thing. It can be about whether someone is rich or poor. It can be even about anything that can. It can be even about a gender. That you have a problem with a different gender or a certain gender. I have a problem with females, and when a guy comes in, I welcome that guy, you know. But if a new female comes in, then I turn a blind eye. I don't even shift. Let's say I'm sitting here. I don't shift. I just sit because it's a female. I have issues. So let's ask God to help us on that one. Because if we are living in our flesh and doing things according to our own, then it's going to be a problem. You see, on verse 19 to 20, now the works of the flesh, those are the works of the flesh, and they lead us to sin. So we don't want this. We don't want these things. Yeah. So we need to pray, because at the end of the day, Proverbs 22, verse 2, at the end of the day, we are God's creation. Whether male, female, whether which culture, but we all created by God. We're all representing God. We are carrying God's image. Verse 2, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. That's very important. And it's one of the things that we have to keep it in our heart every time, that God created everyone. And I know the things that I've just touched now, probably some of us, we're feeling that you. It's finished about me and stuff. No, but there's hope to all of us. Galatians 4, verse 6. God himself, he poured his Son's Spirit in our hearts. Verse 6. And because you are sons, it's very important for me to touch that one. When God says sons, it doesn't exclude females, but we are all the sons because we have the Spirit of Christ. So we are all sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit is praying for us and begging God for us. The other version says, the Spirit of Jesus, it prompts us to cry out to the Lord, saying, Abba, Father. So it's very good that we have to partner with the Spirit of God and cry out to the Lord, our Father, saying, Abba, Father, help us. Help us. Like, I've checked my heart. I've realized that I have things that are not from you, Lord. Help me, Lord. I humble myself. Help me. I love you, God. You are my Father. And I cannot. I know that this is not from you. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. If you humble ourselves, that's a very important one. We are Christians. We are carrying God's name. If you humble ourselves, God is faithful, and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Whatever that we find in our hearts that is not from God, turn from those things. and seek his face, God is so faithful that he will hear us from heaven and he will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. As I was praying on this part of land, I felt that because the battle between the enemy or the flesh and the spirit, it's here on our mind, on our heart. God is faithful. He can heal us from those things. He can heal our hearts. He can transform our mind and heal them so that you'll be able to love again like Christ loved us. And our mind will be clear to be able to think positive things instead of negative things. And on the issue of humbling ourselves again, because that's an important one. Humbling ourselves, it's so important because it gives the praise to the Lord. And it also deals with the pride that we have. It deals with a lot of things. Even the focus that we have on our strength, it deals with it when you humble yourself. Because you go down. You said, God, I'm nothing without you. I need you. And the person in the scripture who did that very well, according to my own opinion, it's David in Psalms, the psalmist. Psalm 69, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. The other version says, when I wept and humble my soul with fasting. But basically, it's just dealing with yourself with fasting. You know the things that you like. Probably you love watching television. Just fast from it. But most of the time, food, it's a main thing. Just stay away from food. And it's a way of humbling yourself. And cry out to the Lord and say, Abba, Father, help me. I love you, Lord. I want to do your will. I want to go where you go. Help me. I cannot do things on my own. I cannot love people on my own. God is faithful. And another thing, on the judgment day, nobody will be able to give any excuses to the Lord. Nobody will ever give excuses and say, no, the reason why I hated people, it was because of my past. The reason why it was difficult for me to relate with males, which resulted in me probably disregarding them when they're coming to church. It was because of what happened in my past when I grew up and stuff. God will not forgive you with that. You know, because the word says, humble yourself. I will heal you. I will heal your land. I will heal your mind, your heart. Humble yourself and cry out to the Lord. God will heal you. And he will also hear from heaven and help you. And on the issue of humbling ourselves, from my own perspective, there are two ways of humbling yourself before the Lord. It's either you do it by fasting, or you wait until the season, the dry season comes. Yeah. That's an interesting one. It's so interesting because a lot of people, they tend to God when that season comes. When you try everything, probably you're a millionaire, and boom, all of a sudden that season comes, and everything, the business are not doing all right, and many things. Even if the wife that you have, if it was not from God, it was from the world. Once your business is out, once the cars are repossessed, then the wife also get repossessed by the world.
Yeah.
And then depression comes because your hope and your confidence is on your strength, on your finances. And once are gone, then it's become dry and you become depressed. Others, they commit suicide on those moments. Just end it because I don't have any strength, you know. But others, they receive Christ in their life, and they find a new treasure, a different one, the one that cannot go away, the one that cannot wither, and the life just changes. Yeah. So, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 to 3. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allow you to hunger. That's the one. Allow you to hunger. But God is so faithful that he also provides. And fed you with manna, which you did not know, did your fathers know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by the bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Immediately when that moment comes, and you know that you don't have anything, then that moment comes, the season comes, everything just goes away. The world just repossesses everything that belongs to it. And you're left dry and desperate. And you come to God. And God provides for you. And give you a provision that you never heard of. A provision that you never experienced before. And then after that, the beautiful moment happens where you start to know the truth that a man shall not live by the bread alone. But the word of God is sufficient and enough for all of us. It's enough. It's a good hope. Let us pray.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.